Bibles with me to the 8th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 8, and I want us to consider verses 22 through 25 this morning. There is a story that is told, and many of you, I'm certain, are quite familiar with it, of a man who was standing on the side of the Niagara Falls. A tightrope had been constructed from one side of the falls to the other, and he was standing there getting ready to walk across this tightrope, and the little boy was standing next to him, and he said to the little boy, "Do you believe that I can walk across this tightrope?" And the little boy said, "I believe that you can do that." The man looked at him again and said, "Do you believe that I can walk across this tightrope and even walk back to where I am now?" And the little boy said, "I believe that you can do that." The man looked at him and said, "Do you think I could take this wheelbarrow and push it across this tightrope and back again?" And the little boy said, "I believe that you can do that." The man once again asked, "Do you believe that if I put someone in the wheelbarrow and pushed it across the tightrope and back, that I could do that?" And the little boy said, "I'm certain that you could do that." To which the man replied, "Hop in." You see, the reality of our faith, the genuineness of our faith, is demonstrated by our ability to act upon it. If we really believe something, we will act accordingly. Sometimes we run into problems, and our faith falters. Now, there are two types of faith in Scripture where we trust God for something. First of all, we trust God for eternal things. That is, we trust God for our eternal destination. That type of faith is a once-and-done type faith. We come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize that we are sinners. 26 years of my life, I had no problem recognizing that I wasn't perfect. For 26 years of my life, I thought that if I could be good enough, that I would be good enough. And one night I heard that the wages of sin is death, and that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do to escape death. Not only physical death, but there's nothing that can be done to escape eternal damnation or separation from God. But Jesus Christ, who is perfect, died for my sins on Calvary's cross, paid for them in full. And if I would simply trust in what He has done for me rather than what I could do for me, I could have an eternal life. I could have an eternal home in heaven. August something of 1981, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That was a once and done decision. That faith has never wavered. It cannot. It will not. I either believed in sincerity then, or I didn't believe at all. But then there's a second type of faith that trusts Christ not for eternal things, but temporal things. Lord, I have a physical need. I'm trusting you for that. It could be medical or something along those lines. I have a material need. I have a bill that needs to be paid. I'm trusting you for provision of this. I have an emotional need. I have a relationship need. Whatever it is, something that deals with this life, and Lord, I'm trusting you to provide for it. Lord, I understand this is your will for my life, and I'm going to do it. I'll trust you to empower me to accomplish it. And we start out, and things don't go exactly as planned, and our faith begins to falter. Don't get too upset, as if you're the only one that has ever happened to. It happens to every single one of us. Even the greatest of saints have times of faltering faith. In fact, that's the case with the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, found here in Luke chapter 8. Read along with me, if you will, beginning at verse 22. "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth." Before I read the rest of this, I want you to mark something out in your mind. I'm not going to focus on it now. I will in just a minute or two, but just put it in the back of your mind. First of all, he said, "Let us." This is the who of God's will. He's asking his disciples, his apostles, to go with him on a journey. Let us. He didn't say, you must, but he expressed his desire to do something and he asked their cooperation with it. And they, by the very fact that they launched forth, they said, okay, we're going to do it. Let us go over. Notice it doesn't say, let us go into. Let us go upon. Let us go out. It said, let us go over. This is the what of God's will. We're getting into this boat. We're going over the water. We're not going through the water. We're not going under the water. We're going over the water. And then thirdly, to the other side of the lake. This is the where of God's will. This is the destination that was preordained. We're not going out into the middle of the lake. We're not going around the lake. We're going over the water to the other side. I oftentimes think of what David said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk into the valley of the shadow of death. No. Yea, though I walk through the valley. All too often we think we get into something and we're never going to make it through. Well, the end had already been predetermined also. Let us go over to the other side. The who of God's will, the what of God's will, and the where of God's will. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Now notice he did not say, do you have any faith? It wasn't that their faith was missing, it was that their faith was faltering. It was misplaced. The other day, I had a file folder of my minutes of consistory meetings, and I could not find it anywhere. I thought, well, for sure, it's in my office over here. And I looked and went through my filing cabinets about five different times, couldn't find it. Well, if it's not over here, it's got to be at my office at home. And I went through, which is a scary proposition, I have two desks in my office, one with my computer and one just a regular desk. And I went through the computer desk, it wasn't there. I went through the desk, my regular desk, it wasn't there. Well, there's nowhere else this thing could be. And I came back over here and I checked this office and it wasn't here. And I went back home and I checked the office at home and it wasn't there. And I said, where is this thing? It's lost. You know what? It was never lost. It knew exactly where it was. I did find it then. Right where I left it. Isn't that crazy? People say, well, it was in the last place I looked. Well, of course it's in the last place you looked. You wouldn't find it and say, well, I better look a couple more places for it. It's always in the last place that you look. Nonetheless, where is your faith? It was misplaced. It wasn't lost. It was misplaced. And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now picture the situation. It's been a busy day. Christ is exhausted. He had, and back in chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, when much people were gathered together, he began teaching, and the preaching ministry can be an exhausting ministry. With the much people gathered together, there was not only the preaching ministry, but I am certain that he was dealing with their physical problems also. And he was exhausted. It was the end of the day, and for some reason he wanted to get away. I think he just needed to get away from people for just a little bit to recoup. He could have said, let us go around the lake to the other side. Problem is, the people would have followed him, and he wouldn't have gotten the rest that he needed. So he said to his men, let's get in the boat, let us go to the other side. They can't follow us this way. We'll get a needed rest. And as they set out, and remember that many of these apostles were fishermen. They were quite adept at rowing boats and sailing across the... Actually, this is the Sea of Galilee. It's called a lake here, which is technically correct. It really should be the Lake of Galilee, not the Sea of Galilee, but that's what it's called. Nonetheless, they were quite familiar with doing that. And they set out, and they thought all things were fine. And And the Lord Jesus goes to the back of the boat and immediately falls asleep. They're making progress when all of a sudden, I think Matthew looked up and said, "Hey, Pete, do you see those clouds out there? Is that going to be a problem?" And old Peter says, "I don't know." And old Thomas looked up and said, "I doubt it." And the clouds grew more intense, and the wind began to pick up. And Bartholomew said, "Hey, Andrew, it's getting pretty windy. Is that going to be a problem?" And Andrew said, "I don't know." Thomas said, "I doubt it." And the water started coming over the boat. And they looked at one another and they said, "Is this going to be a problem?" And Thomas said, "I think so." Gotcha. What are we going to do? "Well, let's row a little bit faster." And they started rowing, maybe. I don't know if it was a boat that you rowed or if it was a sailboat or what kind of a boat it was. But they weren't getting anywhere, undoubtedly. And I'm reading between the lines. And as the water's coming in over the sides of the ship, they said, "Well, let's get the buckets and start bailing." And they started bailing, but the water was coming in faster than they could bail. And hey, we're going down. And all the while, the Lord Jesus is in the back of the boat asleep. And they looked at one another, undoubtedly, and they said, "You know what? We've got to do something. Let's turn around and go back." Wait a minute. What's wrong with that idea? Well, it's just as hard to go back as it is to go forward. You're still going through the storm. In fact, it's worse to go back because Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." They would be going to a place where Jesus didn't want to go. So they go to the back of the boat and they awoke him. That's a good thing. Except for one problem. Saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Were they really perishing? Were they really going to go down? In that statement, I suggest that these great men of faith had forgotten three different things. First of all, they forgot that God is sovereign over all the world. God is God who exercises control, that exercises authority over all of creation, over all of mankind. Oh, they had seen it. They saw him give life. Somehow we believe that God is sovereign over every event in life except the one we're in. Isn't that the way it is? I mean, from a theological standpoint, if I'd come up to you in any trial or circumstance that you're going through and I'd ask you, "Do you believe that God is sovereign? Do you believe that God is ultimately in control of all things?" You would say, "Yes, I believe that." "What about your event?" "I don't know. I think he's asleep. I don't think he's doing anything. We got the winds around us, we got the waves, we got the darkness, we got the clouds. I can't see where we're going. I think we better turn around, go back, we better do something, but if we don't, we're going to perish." God is sovereign over all things. He stood up and he commanded the wind and the water, and they ceased. Now, if somehow man had the ability to speak to the wind and say, "Okay, wind, stop," and the wind obeyed us, it would stop, but you still have the sea being all churned up. And it takes a while. I mean, just go home if you want to try a little experiment. Put some water in your bathtub and splash up and down for just a second or two, and you'll see the water going up and down, and it takes a few seconds, and it'll eventually calm down. Consider a whole lake, see a galley being tossed and turned, and how long does it take to get that water? Not only was he able to control nature itself, but he knew what was going to happen. When he said to the men, "Let us go over to the other side," undoubtedly the disciples looked out and they said, "Well, you know what? It's a beautiful night for a little stroll on the lake. Let's get in the boat. Everything will be fine." Now, had they seen the clouds and had they seen, you know, the wind gusting, they might have said, "Well, you know what, Lord? It's not really a good idea that we go over that way. Maybe we could find some alternative transportation." But these experienced fishermen never considered that. The storm came out of nowhere. They were not expecting it. But Jesus, the omniscient God, and who was sovereign over all things, knew exactly that this was going to take place. And he knew exactly what he was going to do. Folks, when we get into trials and tribulations and attempting to accomplish the will of God in our lives, never do we set out on something where we think we're going to fail. If we think that there are problems, that there are obstacles that are we're unable to overcome, we'll say, "You know what, that's not a good idea. Let's not go that direction." Whenever you start doing the will of God, I would say 99.99% of the time you are convinced that you're going to get it done. Better yet, you're convinced that God is going to enable you to get it done. That he will be sovereign over things. That the Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things will work together for good will eventuate in your life. But the trial comes out of nowhere. The unexpected obstacle arises and you say, "You know what, we're perishing here. What are we going to do?" Secondly, they forgot that God was present with them. They awoke him saying, "Master, we perish." The "we" there wasn't just the apostles. The "we" included the Lord Jesus Christ. "Lord, we're going down, and if you don't do something, you're going down too." Isn't that a ridiculous statement? Think about it for a moment. Here is the eternal God. And you say to him, "You're going to perish." He had been in the front of the Pharisees who came after him and were seeking his life, and the scripture says his time had not yet come, and he just disappeared out of their midst. God protected them. They had seen God's protection in his life. Although they weren't physically present, they knew of him being in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, being tempted of the devil, and how he had overcome the devil in the wilderness. All the different trials and tribulations that they had been through, they had always seen the protection of God, and now they're out there and they say, "You're perishing too." You think that was going to happen? Somehow we believe that God is everywhere in the world except in the middle of our circumstances. "Lord, we're perishing out here." And we have the idea that he's somewhere else. What does Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 say? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In the middle of our trials and tribulations, when obstacles come our way, he's right there with us. And if we perish, in fulfilling the will of God, then God perishes also. And that ain't going to happen. God never asks us to accomplish His will and then, in the very middle of it, forsakes us. But yet we sometimes think that He's far, far away from our problems. He's not. Thirdly, Lord, we've tried everything. We've bailed, we've rowed, we've done everything we can, but we're still falling short. Somehow we believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, except whatever the present trying situation is. Lord, can't do it. It's impossible. Let's look at reality, Lord. We can't do it. What are we going to do, Lord? We've tried everything. And I think the Lord was kind of thinking to Himself and said, I'll bet you never gave this one a thought. He stood up and rebuked the wind and the water, and immediately there was a calm. Where did they go? What did they do afterwards? In John chapter 6, there is a similar situation. It is not the same situation, but it's a situation. Matthew chapter 14 is another passage that is synonymous with John 6, where Jesus walks on the water. Now, it's not this situation. These are two different situations from Luke 8 here. But nonetheless, they were out in the middle in the Matthew 14 and John 6 passage. Jesus was on the shore while the disciples went out. He was praying for them, and He walks on the water to them. Here He's in the boat with them and traveling with them. But in the Matthew 14 and the John 6 passage, it says there that once He spoke to the wind and the waves, immediately they were to the other side. It doesn't say that here. And Jesus said, you think we're going to make it? You think we're going to perish? And Matthew said, I think so. And Peter said, I think so. And Thomas said, I doubt it. Folks, what do you believe that God can do in your life? What's God's will for your life? I believe that God can do whatever His will is. When God says, I want you to do this, and you say, well, I don't know, it's going to be difficult. Can't we go another way? And God says, no, I want you to go this way. I think you can go that way. I think when God leads us down a path and we know what His will is, and a trial or tribulation comes along and gets us concerned, and we're, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Believing, we come to Christ, to a throne of grace. See, it wasn't wrong for these men to come and awake their master and saying, look, Lord, we got a problem here. We've tried this and we've tried that. We're not getting Your will done. We need Your help. That's great. The Lord Jesus Christ would have gotten out of the boat and said to the disciples, you now understand, you've comprehended what's necessary here. But they said, we're perishing. Where's your faith? He said. It got misplaced. Do you really, really believe that God can accomplish His will in your life? Do you believe that? Hop in. Let's pray. Father, help us when our faith falters. Help us not to rely on human wisdom, human ingenuity, human accomplishment, human power, human direction. But He that is in the heavens, who never slumbers, help us to rely, to believe, to trust, to have faith in. the one who will meet our needs and accomplish His perfect will in our lives. Lord, help us to trust You. And may we never say we're perishing. This will fail. This won't work. For the will of God never fails. Father, we praise You for that. And stand here this morning looking to the future. That when we get to the other side of whatever the will of God is for us in our lives, we might look back and say, what a wonderful God who brought us here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.